The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. How are you taking us in this morning? We appreciate it. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Is this guy going to stop winning jackpots at some
point? Incredible. I'm so distracted right now.
You think he can hear us? Literally 7 feet away from us?
I think intelligently he's hitting and moving down a machine every time, so he's getting a little bit closer to us every time, too.
He has won two jackpots, as you can very well hear with the music in the background. He came over in the middle, and I started asking him how much he won. He downplayed how much he won, just to let you know. And he seemed like he was getting a root canal while waiting for the music to stop and the money to stop coming in. So he's...
You got to get the hand pay every time you hit over 2,000.
The hand pay. Sorry. So he's got to go downstairs.
Look, he's hit over that.
He has the joy of a doorknob while he's doing this. He's just not... He's not very excited about it.
It's so distracting for someone like me. I'm just a gambler. I love it.
Amazing. He's clearly of the Randy... As you said off air, clearly of the Randy McKay DNA strain.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, I do this all the time.
Well, because I was shocked after we finally heard the first noise go off. I turned around and saw I'm still sitting down. I just can't imagine. You know, like, you know me, I'd be like, all right, like, time to hit the strip club or something. Let's go.
That music will not leave my head, by the way. That melody.
You know what?
Wow.
You know what, Gil? I'm gonna guess that by the end of the next segment we hear it again.
I think you're probably right.
That's my guess.
He might be onto something, this guy. I would just want to point out with the... So Matt Brown, and God love him, so he just gave a great speech on why he is taking the Lions. I just want to bring up the point-counterpoint of this, right?
Yeah, okay, great, because I heard like a minute of that, yeah.
Oh, because you were so distracted by... Kelly's got a little ADD. Yesterday, he was watching that documentary the whole time we were on the show. What is it, Hustlers and...
Yeah, was it Hustlers, gamblers and thieves? Something like that.
So, I'll shout out Cleve TA, who is one of the best, CLEVTA, one of the great Twitter X, pardon me, football follows there is, does everything so objectively and so logically. But he was on the Megapod. We have all of our finest regular season Beating the Book Megapod guests on, as many as we can during the postseason. And he was kind enough to come on this last week with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and I. And he also does not have a play on the side of the Ravens-Chiefs game for reasons we got into earlier. He is all about the Niners, which was my instinct on Monday as well. Mm. He has them -6.5. He got them earlier in the week. I have them -7. I also took an alt line. I know I did on the Niners. Lions fans are probably not surprised. I'm big friends with the Lions fans this year. But I have the Niners -16.5 at +227 as well, because I do feel like this is going to harken back to our childhood days where in championship games, blowouts are a possibility. And I think we're staring at one here. And I think the Niners escaped their scare last week, and boy, did they escape. That was an absolute escape job against the Green Bay Packers. He points out, Cleve does, a couple things about this matchup. One, the Detroit Lions, offensively, no quarterback exploits the middle of the field quite as well as Jared Goff, and to quite the extent that Jared Goff does, as opposed to going outside. The Niners happen to be very strong in the middle with Fred Warner, with Dre Greenlaw.
I was going to say, it feels like we've seen a few times this year, Fred Warner or Dre Greenlaw just, hey, I'm in the middle of the field, interception, cool.
Yeah, and then the comps to who the Lions have played with that sort of characteristic on defense, Chicago leaps to mind. Mm. They didn't really play well, right? So there is already some comps on that. The other sort of...
I mean, the Ravens?
The Ravens being another one. That's exactly right. So there's that. Secondly, there's the, there's no rain, so that's not going to affect Brock Purdy here on the other side. One of the other big things is, okay, well, that's great, but listen, the Niners defense gives up a ton of yards, and obviously with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, the Lions have the personnel to exploit that. Well, while we were doing the Megapod, because Todd actually brought it up, he's like, okay, yeah, that's all great, but what about this? Cleve actually looked it up while we were doing the Megabot. So which are the teams that have had a greater than 50% success rate in the running game against the Niners? Those teams are Washington, believe it or not, had the highest success rate, near 60% success rate against the Niners defense. The others, Seattle, Tampa Bay, and the Rams. Now, what were the results of those games? They beat Washington by 17. The Niners beat Seattle by 12. They beat Tampa Bay by 13. And they beat the Rams by 7. The only game that the Rams won was week 17, where it didn't matter for the Niners.
Which is almost impressive that it's that high of a winning margin when you're literally talking about the teams that ran the ball best against
them. That's right. The point of that being, so for all those, because we've heard it, listen, we've all talked ad nauseum about these two games, much like we will for 2 weeks about the Super Bowl. So you try to think of all the different angles that we haven't spoken about. One of those that we've heard from, you know, multiple guests, not only on this show, but I'm sure throughout the network, throughout all mainstream media, is, you know, that's the real Achilles heel. But the point being that you can withstand 4 to 5 yards per rush in modern day NFL, and it absolutely doesn't kill you. It doesn't. What you're trying to avoid are the big chunk pass plays, and the Niners are actually set up well against the Lions in that respect, as we just talked about. So again, and I mentioned this in the previous segment, what horrible luck for the Lions in their two NFC championship appearances that we've been alive for, or that some of us have, you know, some of us even remember, some of us who were even there at the other one, because I was, to end up playing these two behemoth teams 30 plus years apart.
Yeah, I keep going back to in this game, It much like I did with Green Bay before we were breaking that game down, if you can run the ball and establish, because the pass defense is so good, you don't want to be in obvious pass situations against the Niners. So what's the easiest way to do that? Actually gain some yardage running the ball. And you saw Aaron Jones do that effectively early. And then it was, everybody went crazy over what he did to the Niners, but he had the one long run.
He did.
And you take that out of it, and then you really go and break down his stats, and you're like, all right, well, they kind of ran the ball okay on them. Like, they ran it a lot.
By the way, that run, when he had that run, that was the moment of many moments, but that was maybe the biggest moment where you thought, wow, the Niners are going to lose this football game.
Right. Yeah. And kind of what I'm saying here is, we talked about this on Monday, but it was me watching that game. It was, okay, between the rain with Purdy, the Debo getting hurt, then seemingly throwing off one of the greatest offensive play callers in the NFL's entire plan for the game, and him not being able to recover, and then the 49ers still won the game.
And they still won the game.
That's the thing I keep going back to.
Well, so let's go to that Debo point.
Yeah.
Because I have been among those who say, and maybe I'm louder than most on this, where I'm like, hey, something does happen to the Niners. Like, as elite as this team is, when they lose one of the cogs of their machine on offense, they seem to fall off a cliff. And so let's take Debo, because Debo's obviously the one in question here. You know, I came out of that game saying, wow, like, when they lose Debo, they seem to fall off a cliff. Here it is again. What is it about the makeup of this team? And the answer, the knee-jerk reaction to that question is, well, because Debo does so many different things to that offense.
Yeah.
Well, again, this on the Beating the Book Megapod. I'm sorry to promote it 100 times here, but we were talking about that, and I brought that up, and Cleve was like, well, I got something to say about that later in the show. And what he did say was, it's actually a little bit masked in the sense that, yes, in this past game, Debo Williams was out. Their performance dropped off. This is me speaking now. But there was rain involved, and Brock Purdy was having trouble wiping off his hand during the game. But typically when Debo didn't play this year, you know what else happened? You know who else didn't play? Trent Williams didn't play. Mm. So there's a bit of fallacy to that,
totally,
where it's like, it's actually not Debo.
Yeah.
It was that Debo was out at the same time Trent Williams is. And maybe besides Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams is the single most important player on that offense. To which I quipped, of course, boy, you know who could use Trent Williams? The Washington Commodores. But we know how that went. But that's, I thought that was a great push back to that notion as well.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, nah, that's actually not what was at play. So And we just looked at it three or four different ways there where it comes up Niners every which way. So I just really believe that this is, and again, sorry, Lions fans, I know you hate me already, but it's like, by the way, I was like, what, do you still have them ninth? Or no, they said 10th. I was like, no, actually, I had them as high as ninth this year.
My
response was, no, nah, I'm dead last now.
Yeah, or that.
Dead last. 4 out of 4. So that's how I see it going. Yeah. I have the Niners -7. I wasn't fortunate enough to get the -6.5. But as it was ticking towards 7.5 yesterday while we were on air, I grabbed a remaining 7. And then I do have the alt spread of -16.5. That was the one I chose to play at +227. But I could have gone anywhere with it. I could have gone -9.5 at plus money, short plus money. But that's the one I chose.
I mean, look, I think that's weak. Hit on it a bit yesterday with crack, but yeah, I think if you see that big of a difference between teams, mix in some alts for sure. So I laid 6.5 one of the days we were on air and we saw it. I think Circa had it up here. So I did hit the 6.5 of the Niners. I mean, I'm in the same camp as you. I keep going back to that game last week of how much went wrong and they still won the game. And I don't really know that there's that after what we saw the end of the season with the Packers. I don't really know that there's that big of a difference between the Packers and the Detroit Lions. And like that is, it's probably, I'm probably crediting more the Packers than taking anything away from the Lions. But still, I think they have the ability to do that. We'll get to the Chiefs-Ravens game later. But yeah, I laid 6.5 here. I do have a teaser from last week with the Niners involved to close out. And then I'm thinking about one more bet that's going to involve both teams that I'll talk about in the last segment.
Okay. Back to it. Didn't mention that Dr. Bob and Jason Weingarten are on the show today, but they are. Dr. Bob's thoughts on Championship Sunday. That's on the other side. Pioneer in the business, or he objects to that term. He likes to be called a legend. No, he actually said that one. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. That's next.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, check out the new VSiN.com. We got a new fresh look, enhanced navigation, and a mobile-first focus. Time is money in sports betting, and the site's pages have been built to load quickly. We also have expanded our educational content and strategy sections for both new and experienced bettors. Check out the new VSiN.com today. Quick glance here, Kelly. I don't have a play at this point in the women's final in the Australian Open, but you know who does? Zachary Cohen, I believe. He's got one. Adam Burke on the conference championships, Steve Mackinnon with all the conference trends, all of that and more, of course, at VSiN.com. If you have any questions about the sunsetting, by the way, of the VSiN app, which I know you still might, please go to VSiN.com/FAQ. You like that?
There you go. Well done.
Okay, I was just doing it.
I told Zach, I kind of locked him in yesterday. Zach and Crack Thursdays going forward.
Zach and Crack.
Yeah.
I like it. So that gentleman, just a jackpot update. You know how much approximately he made?
It's over 5 figures. Yeah.
Over five figures.
He did pretty well for himself in an hour in the morning at the D, hanging out with only the two of us nearby.
And he could not have been more annoyed.
He really couldn't.
Yeah. It's fascinating. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a pioneer in this business. Although, don't picture old school pioneers because he doesn't like you to picture that. But he is one of the first to use predictive algorithms to try to anticipate the results of sporting events. He is the great Bob Stoll. He goes by Dr. Bob. You can follow him at Dr. Bob Sports or drbobsports.com. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right, Gil. How are you guys?
Doing very well. Say hello to your daughter. I know she was in the room with you moments ago. Please say hi.
She was. I have forced her out. How'd you do on the upset in the Australian Open last time? Did you have a play on that?
No, I had the over in the Medvedev Zverev match, which cashed.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yes.
Match.
Yes. Yeah. It's phenomenal. I really believe there's nothing like the combination of physical and mental prowess needed in sport like there is in tennis. It is just fantastic. And these guys are just out of this world, good at what they do, and what a tournament it's been. Absolutely great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk Championship Sunday. Let's go through both games. I'm curious as your thoughts on both. Baltimore, Kansas City, AFC with the Ravens favored by 4. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah. You know, I think Baltimore's the best team in the league and they proved it. And the thing about the Ravens is, unlike teams like the Cowboys or the Dolphins who kind of beat up on bad teams, Baltimore played their best relatively against the other good teams in the league. So that's even more impressive than the Niners, the Lions. They crushed both of those teams. Most of the good teams they faced, they beat. But you know, this is Patrick Mahomes, you know, and he's I think he's something like 8-3 straight up as an underdog, in the last few years. So, you know, it's tricky going against Mahomes in a situation like this, but I just think Baltimore is a better team. And what, you know, the last time the Chiefs played, against, Jackson, they, you know, Spagnuolo likes to blitz and they tried to blitz and, Lamar just ran around the blitz and ran for 107 yards. So, they, gave up, this was a couple of years ago, I believe, and or maybe 3 years ago, the last time they played in Baltimore, that strategy didn't work. So I'm wondering how much they're going to try to blitz this time around. So I think the Chiefs are going to have to change what they like to do. And either way, I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to be able to run the ball. You know, whether it's Jackson running the ball, they do blitz that you can run around it. But the Kansas City doesn't stop the run very well. You know, Baltimore ran last week for 200 plus yards and Kansas City was 28th in the league in expected points added versus the rush. I just don't think it's a good matchup for Kansas City's defense in that way. So I think Baltimore's going to be able to run the ball. And the other side of the field, I mean, the Chiefs, you know, the safety blanket for Mahomes is Travis Kelce, and Kyle Hamilton, the great out of Notre Dame, has been just as great or better in the NFL. And he led the league in yards per target allowed. And I think he's just going to shadow Travis Kelce. So I think, you know, Hamilton can neutralize Kelce. Kansas City's receivers are a bit untrustworthy and the Ravens have great corners. I just don't think it's a great matchup. I'm not crazy about going against Mahomes in the playoffs. He's been in his career. His expected points added per play in the regular season is as good as it gets, plus 0.27 EPA per play, which is great in the regular season. In the playoffs, it goes up to plus to 0.31. So he's actually been better in expected points added per play in the postseason, you know, facing better defenses. It works out to about 2 points per game better, and that's without taking into account that he faced better defenses in those games. So Mahomes has always raised his level of play in the playoffs. He could do that here. I'm not betting the game. I think I'd rather have Baltimore here. I think the line's about right. My model comes up with 3.8. I just think the situation you know, favors Baltimore a bit. So in the matchups. So I would rather have Baltimore, but I'm not betting it. Yeah,
that, that mimics exactly how so many of us feel about this game. It's like, were it not for this Michael Jordan character that plays for the Chiefs, right, we'd be all over the Ravens, but he muddies it just enough. Just out of curiosity, before we move on to the second game, Bob, real quick, do you remember offhand the low point, the bottom of where you had the Chiefs in your rankings this year?
Never bad, because the prior had them pretty high. Maybe as low as like seventh.
Oh, okay. Not bad. So not bad. Okay.
Not all bad. Right. No.
Okay. Let's move to the second game. I'm going to guess you have a play on this. The Niners 7.5-point favorites now hosting the Lions.
Well, I bet them at -7, as a half unit play. So not a best bet, but I have something called strong opinions and that's half a unit. So I did like them enough for that. The model has San Francisco by 9.2. I think the matchups are pretty good. The situation is pretty good. You know, Brock Purdy struggled last week and people made a big deal out of that. But, you know, it's looking like there's a pattern forming that Purdy does not play well in the rain. This is the second rain game this year. Last year, averaged barely over 6 yards of pass play. Back early in the season, he went to Cleveland and that was in the rain and he averaged only 3.6 yards per pass play. So there's been a couple games this season in the rain. He's not played well, but you can't get more perfect conditions in an outdoor game than we're going to see on Sunday in Santa Clara. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. And the other 15 starts this year with Purdy, he averaged 9.1 yards per pass play. So if weather's not a factor, I expect Purdy to going back to being Purdy. Debo Samuel may or may not play. I think he's going to play. Samuel he's valuable, but you know, he averaged 10 yards per target, but the rest of the receivers and tight ends average 11 yards a target for the Niners. So it's not, maybe not as valuable in that capacity, but he does take some attention away from other receivers and is a big part of the game plan. So he is valuable, maybe a point and a half or so is what I value him at if he doesn't play. But I do think he's likely to give it a go. And if he's not 100% with the shoulder, Ayuk has a great matchup. First of all, Brandon Ayuk led all wide receivers in expected points added per target by a pretty good margin this year. And he's up against Detroit's cornerback Cameron Sutton, who's not good in general. And last week gave up 12 and a half yards per target to Mike Evans. So I think Ayuk is going to have a great game regardless. And then on the other side of the field, what the Lions like to do, what Jared Goff likes to do, is throw the ball in the middle of the field. They were second most in the league in passes attempted in the middle of the field. And the 49ers just do not give that up. They only allowed 46 completion percentage on intermediate throws to the middle of the field this season, which was third best in the league. So Goff is, those linebackers are great. Obviously, an all-pro Fred Warner, Drake Greenlaw showed what he can do in pass defense last week. So I think that's going to be a struggle for Detroit not doing what they like to do. So I do think the matchup favors San Francisco, whether Samuel plays or not. And I just think it's a good enough play for a small bet at -7 or less. When you're getting -7.5, I probably wouldn't touch it. I'd be looking more at some props, maybe Ayuk over, because I do think he's going to have a big game, especially with not knowing for sure whether Samuel is going to, how much he's going to play. So I'd probably look that way if you're looking if the line you have is 7.5 or more, but I do think it might come back down to 7.
Yeah, possible still. Much time to go before kickoff. Yeah. A lot of common themes on this show, that whole thing about Detroit being real good in the middle of the field with Goff, but the Niners having the strength to combat that. We've talked about that already on the show as well. Last thing here, because, you bring up the point about, hey, if rain bothers Brock Purdy, which it clearly did last week, the weather conditions are going to be pristine here in Santa Clara on Sunday. That also should also help Jared Goff too, right? Because for those who say, hey, look, the Lions have only played one game outdoors, since October, and that was at Chicago, and he didn't perform very well. This weather is the best possible outdoor weather conditions for a guy like Goff as well.
But you're comparing Goff in perfect conditions to Goff normally. They play in a dome. So, it's not going to be that much different than what he normally, but Purdy plays outdoor a lot. And he obviously is terrible in the rain. So he's had more bad weather conditions than Goff has. So relatively, the perfect weather probably helps Purdy more than Goff because for that reason.
Relatively speaking, I like that. Bob, thank you as always. Go get your daughter, man. Go get her.
Yeah, she's crying outside now.
Oh,
man. All right, guys, have a good one.
You too. Oh, I feel terrible.
Yeah,
this poor little girl. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, unbothered by daughters and kids from his lair under a cloud of smoke. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game. Un partido de números, for those listening in Spanish. Right here at the D, Bar Canada, Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the hizzy.
What's up?
You pumped for these football games? By the way, if you listen to this first 90 minutes of this show, there are some very common themes that have gone throughout this on both of these games. Matt Brown was a little bit of an outlier, I will say. He's on Detroit.
Yeah, on the Detroit side, yeah.
Yeah. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chili Gambler. Good discussion on Belichick. Seems like maybe the world, maybe he would be better as a DC at this point. You think that's a possibility? I do not. No. You imagine Bill Belichick being like, all right, I'll just be a coordinator. I don't know. Maybe just make me a special teams coach.
We already cracked too many jokes about him being in charge. What I'd like to see is one of those, like a movie. I want to see a reality TV show of Bill Belichick having to coach like a Pop Warner football team and see how he handles that. I'd watch that.
Maybe just make me the QC guy while we're here. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs one. I'm sorry. He starts every tweet now with your I'm
love
sorry.
Yeah,
it's a tribute to Kelly's freezing cold takes where he once said, I'm sorry, but Chris Singleton's going to be a better player than Kawhi Leonard. Primetime, he says, I'm sorry. Am I crazy? Or would those Omaha steak air-chilled chicken breasts pose a problem for someone living near a desert? And one more thing, Billy Chick should definitely get the band back together for a run in the DMC with Patricia and Judge. He's just trying to mess with me with that. No, please don't let it happen. Titans Insider, where is Dr. Bob? Well, there he was. Ryan Thompson, There's a pretty funny SNL sketch making fun of those Nugenics commercials. Highly recommended. Oh, I have not seen that. CRG Futures, basically. Yeah, we did that whole line with Belichick getting on Nugenics, saying that line at the end. Mike Somich has chimed in on a question from Snickle Fritz Picks. Oh, I like that name. Where he wanted to know about, are there any field goal props, any kicker props that you might be interested in this weekend? Mike Somich chimed in. He said, Mike Somich from The Handle here at VSiN. He said, I was looking at some of the field goal over props yesterday. I didn't pull the trigger, but the over 1.5 field goals for Tucker would be my play of the two. Oh, Will Hill loves himself a over 1.5 Tucker field goals prop. He loves that. You have a game with two kickers that are great in Butker and Tucker, and then you got a game with two kickers in Badgley and Moody, where you just don't know what you're getting. And even in the case of Moody, you don't know what you're getting. He's a rookie. The Niners didn't kick a lot of field goals this year. And then when Kyle Shanahan sort of fenced him into a long field goal at the end of the first half this past week, that didn't go well. That was a low trajectory block. So I don't know. I did not play anything field goal wise. Did you?
No, I did not. I was just pulling up. Wanted to pull up over at DraftKings. I saw these. These are totals for the weekend. You have 6.5 is the make miss field goal number.
6.5 made.
6.5 made over over under. Sorry, over under. And then touchdowns 10.5 over and under, and a defensive or special teams touchdown set at a half.
Set at a half. Defense or special teams at a half.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. And last one, John Blom. Since you were talking about alt lines, would love to hear your thoughts on alt lines on KC Baltimore. If you like Baltimore, seems like it might make more sense to take them at -5.5 or -6.5 if they win by 4. Don't they probably win by 6 or 7? Well, yes. But did I know?
You're also not going to see that big of an increase from
that's correct.
Right, from that's that right. number to that. The thinking is correct, yeah. But the books are thinking that way too.
Yeah. When I'm alting, I'm really alting. And I'm doing that with the Niners at -16.5. Jason Weingarten joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He's wearing Aviator Nation fashion today. Is that what you got?
It is.
You were lamenting off screen that you don't think you'd be a good model for them?
Nah, they don't like dudes like me in their advertisements. If you ever look, it's all very, very pretty ladies, and not guys who look like me.
And not guys who look like me. Okay, you're male models is what you're trying to say? Is that what you're saying?
Are you saying I can't be a male model?
No, I'm just saying I think that's what you meant, and so I'm just trying to interpret for people. No, you could Jason, I think if this doesn't work out, male modeling is exactly the industry you should get into. All right, remind folks what you like in these two games.
Lions and Chiefs. I think getting the 7.5 with the Lions right now is pretty good. Chiefs little more dicey, but I'm going to stick with Mahomes here. I don't think I'm going to get to watch the KC game. I'm going to be on a plane Sunday, but I'll be home in time for the Lions game this weekend, so that should be good.
Did you sprinkle on the money line in either?
Oh, yeah. I played both money lines.
You played both money. In addition to ATS, you took both money lines.
Is the Chiefs up to 4 everywhere now?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
Consensus. Not every single place. Let me just check. I'll do the old glance-a-roo here, see what we got going. Chiefs are pretty much... Oh, yeah, it's 4 everywhere. It's painted 4.
Huh. Good to know. That's a decent move from 3-4.
What is it? Explain to folks what it is about both games. How do you see both going that you landed on that side?
I just haven't loved the 49ers all season. I don't think this is the best team they've ever had. And, you know, they're good. They're fine. I don't think they're unbeatable. Same thing. I don't think the Ravens are unbeatable either. I think they're a very good team. And there's a Hall of Fame, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback on the other side getting 4 points now. So, you know, I'm just trying not to overthink it. And I'm happy to take the dogs here. I think we get 2 competitive championship games this weekend.
They're announcing all the NFL awards on February 8th, Jason. What is the one that you are most hopeful about?
Defensive Rookie of the Year. I have a little bit on DeMar Hamlin because he got down just like so cheap in season. I was like, well, I have to bet this. Like if he loses, you know? But yeah, I guess my biggest bet is Kobe Turner at this point. I think it's down to him and Will Anderson most realistically. Not necessarily expecting a win, but I think, you know, I got a better price than, you know, what he closed at.
Yeah. Pro Football Writers Association did their, and they announce what their ultimate award winners are. They made Will Anderson their defensive rookie of the year. And so to the extent that that portends what we're going to get in the actual award ceremony on February 8th, I mean, that is, that's a sign anyway, I think.
Interesting. It's not super egregious to pick Anderson. I mean, he was the second overall pick in the draft and, you know, was a good player on a, you know, a playoff defense. So it's not like the most egregious, like Garrett Wilson last year. I will just keep pointing out how undeserving of a rookie of the year he was.
Who did you have as rookie of the year last year? Who would you have made it?
I think I had Christian Watson. Just like I pointed out before, Garrett Wilson scored four touchdowns all season last year, and those four touchdowns came across two games. I just can't find a historical precedent, somebody who contributed so little overall to their team. And you can blame the quarterback play on the Jets or whatever, but it was just, you know, I guess it was an anomaly of a year where somebody won with such a poor stat line, especially over Brock Purdy, who, you know, in hindsight, absolutely deserved the award.
By the way, no surprise, CJ Stroud won the Pro Football Writers Association Offensive Rookie of the Year award.
Maybe he could be drafted first.
What'd you say?
Maybe he could be drafted first again.
By the way, do we cash those anywhere? Or CJ Stroud?
Wait, Jason, what number do you have on Turner again?
25. Maybe. Couple tickets a little lower, but all double digits.
It is tough because that race really did, you know, Bo Turner and Will Anderson, right? I kind of, you know, really heated up near the end of the season while Jalen Carter was kind of disappearing on a lost Eagles team.
I don't know if I've asked you this directly. Maybe I did that week, but I'll ask you again, Jason. Do you consider yourself kind of responsible for the Kobe Turner move?
No. The Rams, Cameron DeSilva from Rams Wire wrote the article that I saw. So, you know, if anything, it started with the Rams beat writers that were kind of banging the table. I couldn't have picked out Kobe Turner from a lineup, you know, before week 14 or 15. And I go to the Rams games, you know, I mean,
you know what I'm saying. You were the one who probably talked about it and bet it in terms of betting circles. So
No. So Bet365 put it up because someone else requested it.
Oh, okay.
Caesars put it up because I requested it and I got a bet in and then it dropped. But I won't take credit for the whole thing. I mean, I was a very small part of it.
All right, that's very honest. 90 seconds here. What else are you betting on this weekend besides the football games?
Not much. I had some Big West basketball last night. You know, I bet the Irvine game. I bet the Hawaii game. I still do some Big West basketball every once in a while. But I tuned in and I watched the games and I was like, man, I spent 10 years of my life watching this stuff. Like, I hope I don't spend another 10 years of my life watching these games. These are games. Like, I'm...
Jason went to Irvine, for those who are wondering.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There are so many. I think about that in college football. I'm like,
small conference college basketball is fun, but like, I don't need to watch it every day.
Oh, it can be a tough watch.
It's just like, I'm going to lose my hair if I keep watching these games, watching them just miss shots. And it's terrible.
I don't think you have to go to the Big West even. Like some of these like West Coast Conference games, like the lower ones, you're like, oh my God.
I can't sweat out. College basketball free throws, I just can't sweat out. It is. I don't care who's on the line.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the whole thing with the in-game college basketball, how great it is for some. It all does come down to what's the foul situation. That's obviously a huge tenet in it. So that's it? Nothing golf-wise? No Rojang? No nothing?
Nah, she's out this week. I don't have a lot of golf going. Maybe hit something live. It's nice. The Farmers ends on Saturday this week, so hopefully get a chance to pop something live there. But otherwise, it's a pretty slow week for me. Next week's slow. Then we start getting back into baseball after the Super Bowl. So
baseball. Are you ready for that? Oh, my goodness.
No, am I ready for it? No, but it's going to happen inevitably. You know, I will be ready for it.
Oh, it's coming.
It sneaks up earlier and earlier every year.
It's coming. I'd say good luck on the football games, but we're off on the Niners-Lions game. So good luck to a degree. How about that? Enjoy them.
Yeah, hey, you know, good luck to you. Nothing I do is going to change the outcome. So
very true.
Me.
Coming back. Thank you, Jason. Coming back. More NFL on the other side. We'll wrap it up next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. If I have any tennis plays for either the women's or men's final in the Australian Open, they will be there, as will every pick from every host and every guest on this network. Your golf plays are up there as well. Yes, sir.
Yep. Uh-huh. NBA's up there for today. 3-0 last night.
Oh, nice. For more VSiN Pro picks, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. A numbers game will give you 10% off an annual subscription when you use promo code code ANG.
That's ANG as in A numbers game.
Visa.com/picks. We've had a good week with all the picks. It was a another winner in tennis last night. Besides the day before yesterday, when I had a losing day, that was the only losing day in like the from the first couple days of the Australian Open. It was just a great match by match tournament. Again, the Eagle futures did not get there, but that's why we put them up with the football ones, because even when I was addressing those, I was like, hey, but the Ravens and the Niners will, if the exacta works out perfectly, could either make up for all of it or make up for even more than all of it. So we'll see how that goes. Again, my football exact is that I still have Niners to beat the Chiefs at 11-1, Niners to beat the Ravens at 12-1, and the Ravens to beat the Niners at 5-1. I do not have the Chiefs to beat the Niners, which I joked on the Megapod. I was like, so clearly that's what's going to happen.
Well, then, you know, your massive 200K bet on the Lions money line, right? That too. You forgot to mention that.
Yeah, I did not. I am all about the Niners in this game. I really think they roll in this. Well, how is your golf tournament going, by the way? Are those looking good?
No, it's terrible.
Oh, really?
All the lovable losers that I usually bet all the time are at the top of the leaderboard. I just didn't bet them this week.
I see. The lovable.
The Aaron
losers.
Rise and Emiliano Grios and all those guys, they're right at the top.
There was
Stephen Yeager, who I've bet in two tournaments so far, but didn't bet this one. He's leading it right now. So, yeah, it's a good time.
And about those tennis matches, before we get back to football, I just want to say again, because I said at the beginning of the show, these are kind of aligned where they ought to be. Just because they're there as finals, much like with the NFC and the AFC championship. If you don't like a side, Crack was talking about this yesterday, you should not feel compelled to play it just because it's there. I happen to be playing the Niners, but I'm not touching the side in the other game. So for these Australian Open finals, Sabalenka should be a big favorite over Zhang Xinwen. Should it be $6? I don't know. But $3 or $4 for sure. And then Yannick Sinner is appropriately priced at -245 against Medvedev. Maybe I'll have a play in that. We'll see.
The only reason I chuckled is the difference between this and the NFL is you could just go to sleep during this time. This is not like, what am I going to do during the middle of the day for a couple hours?
That's
like,
right.
You just go to sleep.
That one, exactly. And when you have a bet, sometimes you just wake up to it. You're like, hey, I won. Hey, didn't go my way. All right. So just to review again, our NFL plays in the end. I am on the Niners -7 as it was going to -7.5 yesterday during the show. I grabbed one of the sevens that remained. It did go back to 7 later in the day yesterday. Now back at 7.5. I also have an alt spread on the Niners -16.5 at +227. Maybe not the exact price I should have gotten on that, but it should be north of $2. +227 is what I got it at. I have not played anything, and I don't know that I'll have anything in that first game, which will be a strange experience to just sit back and enjoy. But I do have my exact is pending, so obviously I have a rooting interest in, well, I guess in that case, I don't. In that case, I'll just be like, well, which team can I see beating? Like, I don't.
Yeah, oh, that's tricky.
Here's my thing.
I think you'd rather have the Ravens.
I'd rather have
just
the Ravens.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm covered.
Yeah.
That's right. Because that way I win either way heading. I mean, that's going to be a fun 2 weeks. How many times am I? If it's the Ravens and the Niners, I'd be like, I win either way.
Well, what's funny about that is you'd actually wish these games were flipped, right? So you knew the Niners
knew the
were
Niners
home. And
in.
Then you could be like, all right, Ravens just win. I can
that's
lock
right.
up some money.
Yeah.
Boom.
And I got nothing on the line. So
yeah,
they're obviously my kryptonite and all this as well.
I did play the under on that game right when it opened at 45. Just felt a little high. I think I was expecting this to come down a little bit more throughout the week, though. I mean, it's still 44.5 everywhere right now. It's not crazy. Not a crazy big bet for me there either. You know, I don't bet a ton of totals. But both these defenses have been good. I don't think I'd be shocked at all to see either one of these quarterbacks struggle a little bit, but more with, when I say that, more just of what Patrick Mahomes' struggles have been all year long, right? The receivers dropping balls, like things like that. I think I could come into play here. So I am on the under, and then I hit the Niners at 6.5 a couple days ago when those were still out here. Hit that. I do have the Niners tied up in a teaser from last week to close out. And then the one I kind of hinted at earlier, Gil, I think I'm gonna do an old Bidlin teaser, okay?
Oh,
that Stanford Wong would not approve
Bidlin
of at all.
Teaser.
I'm waiting for one of our teaser shops out here to get to 4. There are a couple remaining at 3.5.
Yeah.
That I don't think this is the reason why, but they haven't gone to 4 yet because I'm gonna do a 6.5 point teaser with Chiefs up to 10.5 and then take the Niners down.
Would be the teaser. That was one of the questions we asked on the pod too, which is, okay, if you have, were forced to make a teaser, I think the obvious teaser is Niners down, Chiefs up, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to play it. I'm just kind of waiting. I haven't had the right number opportunity here to play. Like, yes, there are shops here in town that are at fours, but they charge extra for the teasers. I'm waiting for one of the teaser shops to get to four, which both of them are conveniently hanging at 3.5 still. So I will be involved there. And that just, I mean, it's Matt breaking down that game. He's talking about the benefit of having +3.5, +4, because if it's a 2-score game, how easily that could get home. All right, 10.5. I'm feeling very comfortable with Patrick Mahomes being able to cover that number.
The back door will be open strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
Two questions.
If it's not close, back door. Yeah.
Two questions to close here. One. Real quick.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to end up with bets on both rushing props over up both quarterbacks.
Oh
yeah. I think Lamar, just like we saw last week, probably even more this week, is going to look to tuck and run every opportunity he gets. This is where him in the playoffs transforms maybe more than any quarterback in the NFL, maybe except for Josh Allen, where it just makes way too much sense to finally run these guys. That is a weapon that you have to hold them back from doing that so much throughout the season, because you have to worry about injury. And then as we talked with Matt about Mahomes, I've bet that a ton already this year just because the receivers
he's great at it. Yeah, he's great at it. All right. So less consensus on the first game between the Chiefs and the Ravens, but we've had a lot of consensus on this show today for sure, but all week on the Niners and the Lions. We have, with the exception of Matt here, we've pretty much had one-way traffic, as they say in tennis, on this show, in terms of you're on the Niners, I'm on the Niners, Aaron Schatz was on the Niners, Bob's on the Niners, talked about Cleve being on the Niners.
Were you surprised at all earlier when Felica said that about the Ravens?
Which specifically?
Like, he said he felt like everybody was on the Ravens. I don't feel that. I feel like I've heard more people on the Chiefs.
Yeah, actually. I didn't feel that way either. But we always joke on the podcast side, where I always joke, like, if three of us are on the same team, oh God, that's like, if two, it's fine. But if it's three on the same side, God help us. Do you feel like the average person's taking that in, that we're on this massive consensus on the Niners, is going to go with, oh God, that's not good if everybody's on the same one, or that we've made the case so well on this that people are, and again, I'll get back to, I just want to say it one more time, poor Lions, that this is your fate, that in 1991 you played arguably the greatest team of all time in the 91 Skins, and now you get arguably a top 10 team of all time in the Niners. Like, you can't imagine the bad luck of that on the road.
Yeah. I do think that there is still a, I mean, look, I've bet on the team, so obviously I believe in it. I still think, though, that we might have built up the 49ers to be better than we've actually seen play out so far. I know we have heard some people go back and question, you know, kind of some of the wins on the schedule and strength of schedule overall. Listen,
if Purdy had a bum game, no one would be surprised.
We almost saw it a week ago, right?
We wouldn't be that shocked.
I know what you're saying, because I believe in this team that much, but I don't, like, I mean, we almost saw it a week ago. I don't know if I'm not going to be blown away if we come in here Monday and they lose the game.
But the rain, right. Now, here's a final question. I ask this on the Megapod all the time, which is, all right, which of the big favorites is the most likely to lose outright? We always talk about it with a 16-game slate, or if they're buys, you know, 14, 13 games, 12 games, whatever it is. But if you got the Niners and you got the Ravens, and if I come to you and I say, hey, one of them lost.
Ravens.
It's got to be, right? Because of Mahomes. Just because of Mahomes. As long as he exists, that's the answer to the question.
Oh, and, you know, one win sure shored up all the conversation about Lamar Jackson's struggles in the playoffs.
Right, but that point about the fact that against cover zero, he's still one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Like,
yeah, so that was interesting. When you brought that up earlier, that was interesting, because what you saw last week was a ton of that in the first half.
In the first half, and it was tied. And it was tied.
And it obviously worked, and then, you know, sorry, I'm not smart enough of a football mind to figure out what all the adjustments were, but obviously Baltimore did a bit to be able to get away from that.
It's going to be fun. Honestly, whatever bet you have, good luck on all of them. I hope you're on our side. This is the wish you real sincere luck. But whatever it is you are, I hope it's a great weekend for you, football and beyond. We'll do two more weeks of this after this for the Super Bowl. We'll be on Radio Row for a couple of those days as well. 2 weeks to talk about whatever matchup is produced from these two games this weekend. Cannot wait for that. Obviously, there's going to be a mess of props to deal with for the Super Bowl that is right here in Las Vegas. In the meantime, enjoy these games this weekend. Good luck. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.